Maybe it won't work.
You're lying.
Good morning, beautiful ladies. Wow, there are a lot of you here. This is awesome. Let us begin and pray. Name Father, Son, and Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, come down and fill us with the burning love for Mary, the Mother of God. Let us entrust our prayers and works this Advent season to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the, quote, safest, easiest, shortest, and most perfect way, end quote, to her Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Mary, we ask you to be with us here today and to intercede with your perfect Son to guide us on our Advent journey and to be prepared as humanly possible for the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. In your name, dear Jesus, we all pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I am honored, humbled, and thankful to be giving the Advent CBSW commentary. I'm sure some of you who have seen me these past few days are wondering why I'm saying I'm thankful. I'm thankful because we are to thank God for all that is happening in our lives, even the hardest challenges, because he's giving us a chance to prove our love for him in yet another way. I'm also thankful because preparing this commentary has expanded and enriched my knowledge about the season of Advent. For too many years past, I looked back and I realized I was just going through the motions. Wisdom was lacking, busyness prevailed, and too many Advents passed me by without adequately preparing for the season. Having studied Jonah, I also learned when God says go, don't say no. So when Kathy and Helen asked me to consider doing this commentary, I felt as God was urging me to say, go, do it, and once again, step out of your comfort zone and stand in front of a group of faith-filled women, holy women who teach me far more than I can ever attempt to teach them. All of you who emailed me encouragement and suggestions, I responded and said, why aren't you giving this commentary? Every one of you can give a commentary, but not to worry. You'll all hear your words of advice woven throughout this talk. My daughter Anne went to Mass last Wednesday and called me afterwards and said, Mom, the priest was talking to you. His homily was on his preparations for the first Sunday of Advent. And he said as he was a control freak, he realized he needed to let go and pray for divine intervention. Have faith the Holy Spirit will write it for him if he just trusts. And if he doesn't, he'll otherwise miss out on opportunities to impart the wisdom God wants him to impart through his homily. Also, last Wednesday, while in the midst of preparing for today, I had a tidal wave of grief and apprehension wash over me, and the tears started. God knew this, and Father Lopez was celebrating the Mass I was attending, so I fled to him after Mass. His wise words consoled my heart, and he ended with, out of desolation comes consolation. So my fervent prayer is this commentary proves that statement. It better, because is Father Lopez ever wrong? Today is also a break from our ongoing study of Revelation. And remember, Helen's commentary last week reminded us that Revelation is about the world coming to a beginning, and we need to prepare for the second coming. What I hope to achieve these next few minutes is to weave together Mary, Advent, and the upcoming birth of Jesus. And so we begin, because Mary and Advent are also about beginnings. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. How? It was made flesh by God choosing a virginal vessel, Mary, to bear his Son, Jesus Christ. Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. She's the only human being ever to be born who enjoys this privilege. The grace of the Immaculate Conception belongs to her, the mother of Jesus, as her own personal perfection. God sanctified Mary from the moment of her conception. He was preparing her to be the mother of God. She was immaculate from the beginning. However, neither she nor her parents knew this. She was a faithful daughter who prayed throughout her youth for the coming of the Messiah. When she was a young teenager, the angel Gabriel appeared to her with the message she was to bear in her virginal womb the Son of God. She said yes and trusted in God's will 100%. She did not know and could not know the darkness that awaited her, the suffering she would bear, and the intense sorrow she would have when coldness pierced her heart as her beloved, innocent son was crucified. Her world would turn dangerous, cold, and dark. Our world can be cold, dangerous, and dark, but if we ask Mary to share her yes with us, she will, as she is our mother. She craves for us to snuggle close to her heart, where we will be safe, warm, and full of light. I think of my beloved maternal grandmother, Rose Marie Corcoran. As an aside, the rose represents Mary as Queen of Heaven, but as beautiful as the rose is, it also contains thorns, a symbol of suffering, as in the crown of thorns. Marie is the French form of Mary, and my grandmother was of French descent. My grandmother's world turned dangerous, cold, and dark when, in the space of several years, she lost her husband to a heart attack and two of her five children, one to drowning and one to a car accident, my mother. My mother was 30 years old when she was killed in a car accident, leaving three small children motherless. My brothers were 5 years old and just 1 year old, and I was 4 when my sainted grandmother came to live with us for 5 years. I thought of Kathy's commentary on Lesson 1, Revelation Chapter 1. She taught us the life application of that lesson was to turn our lives to God by trust, patience, and prayer. Mary did this by trusting God 100%, being patient for 9 months to finally give birth to her baby, and by prayer with her Magnificat. My grandmother also did this by trusting God after losing her husband and two children, that he would give her the wisdom, courage, and fortitude to help raise three small children and to practice patience with a distraught son-in-law and three young children and prayer. I can still see her on her knees praying the rosary in the early morning hours and watching Bishop Fulton Sheen on TV, the only time she absolutely demanded we be quiet. I learned my faith from her and her example of always being joyful, no matter the circumstances, has stayed with me to this day. She was 55 years old when she came to care for us, and when I was 55, I wondered if I could do what she did, put aside my extreme grief of losing yet another child, and go cheerfully to take on the task of raising three young children. A dear friend of mine wrote me an email describing a person, and she said that person had a deep, still well of faith that soothed many anxious souls, and that person was generous with its spring. That description fits my grandmother. Her deep faith soothed my brothers and me during her lifetime. My grandmother's journey to help raise us reminded me of Mary's journey to see Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel did not tell her to go visit Elizabeth. Mary's love gave her the desire to go and help her cousin. Mary left in haste. Why? After her world had been turned upside down, she had no sign that what she had just heard was true. But one sign was left, Elizabeth's pregnancy. So she rushed there to help. Pope Benedict described Mary's journey as the first Eucharistic procession. She carried the Blessed Sacrament through the countryside. Mary journeys to us also carrying the light of the world. Mary didn't bring any outfits, any toys, no stuffed animals, no blankets, but she was bringing the best gift ever, Jesus. Hence, everything. Mary wants us to bring Christ to all, as he is the greatest gift. Jesus and faith in him are the gifts that should be under our tree. Jesus, when he comes as the greatest gift, wants to find us waiting for him with hearts full of prayer, wonder and praise, and ready to open the gift. When Mary arrived at Elizabeth, the joy of her cousin released in her the great Magnificat, and Elizabeth's baby leapt for joy in her womb. This is the same Jesus that comes to us in Holy Communion and can make us leap for joy. All of us have either experienced being pregnant or having a good friend or relative being pregnant. Think of the joy experienced when the baby first moves, either within you or through your hand lovingly placed on someone's stomach. The baby's first kicks bring unparalleled joy and excitement. Think of how Elizabeth must have felt when her baby, John the Baptist, leapt for joy at the sound of Mary's greeting. As Father Anthony Jean Brown eloquently writes, the mystery and grace of Advent belong to the forerunner and the mother of God. The voice bears witness, while the Virgin bears the word, and both are embodied image of Christ's coming. Then there is an exchange as Mary becomes the voice and John the sign of grace within the womb. Mary's greeting is not written, but she passes on to John her own voice. He soon might openly intone the word made flesh. Today, the hushed word is firstborn of the Virgin, reverberating through Mary's immaculate body into the sanctified air. Carol's commentary on Revelation chapter 6 also gave us life application lessons, which Mary also personifies: selfless love, dying to self, and meaning for one's life. She rejoiced in God's love by saying yes. She thought only of him, not herself. She has this possibility also to receive the angel's greeting, "The Lord be with you." Every time we receive Holy Communion, the Lord is within us. Our lives bear the fruit of his presence when we attend Mass. Mary died unto herself as she never praised herself, never boasted, and her prize was humility. We die unto ourselves when we invite him into our hearts and give him the gift of permission to work in us, no matter the cost. We can pray to Mary to intercede to remove pride, self-love, vanity, and desire for honor in our lives. His will and his work will give meaning to our lives. Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, but he comes to us each day in Mass, prayer, and the sacraments. He will come again to us Christmas Day as we celebrate his birthday. Last year, my daughter-in-law, Erin, got two cakes to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. My grandchildren love sweets. And we didn't use one, so she froze it for later use. We were all going to have an early celebration in June for my son Kevin's birthday last year. As I was helping her prepare dinner, she had the cake out and spelled out in big letters with, "Happy birthday, Jesus!" And I burst out laughing and told her I had no idea she thought so highly of her brother-in-law. Mary is the totally perfect model of how we should live Advent. She is Advent personified. She was prepared to receive our Lord. And as St. John Paul II states, the Word who found a dwelling in Mary's womb comes to knock on the heart of every person. Advent is the training ground toward Jesus, who already came, who will come again, and who comes continually. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Advent is our beginning to prepare for Jesus not only dwelling among us, but in us. St. Teresa of Calcutta says, Advent is meant to refresh us and make us healthy to be able to receive Christ in whatever he may come to us. The beginning of Advent is also the beginning of a new church year. Make some spiritual resolutions. Pray every day. Go to confession. Attend daily Mass. Read books on saints. Drive patiently. Don't complain. And don't be stressed. Advent takes place when the days get shorter and the nights longer. There also may be a darkness in our hearts, our lives, our prayer life. We see the homeless, the poor, the suffering, the persecuted, and wonder why. But Advent gives us hope. The dawn is coming. Isaiah 38. In the darkness of our hearts and of our world, we cry out until the dawn. Advent is a season of vigil. We keep watch for Jesus coming to bring us peace. Advent gives us hope. We await God's mercy, and it comes as a baby. God was a baby. He knows we're also babies in the ways we need to grow into the saints we are all destined to be. We need to grow in perfecting our impatience, our judgments, our perseverance, our joy, our virtue, and the list goes on. May God have mercy on all of us, his children. This Advent, let us, Hebrews 12, rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us. My favorite Bible verse is, I'm sure a lot of you can say this, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. That same friend wrote me that Advent is a pause between the two phrases. There is a hopeful space between stillness, be still, and an encounter with God, know that I am God. Sometimes the pause can be joyful, sometimes painful. Painful pauses include sickness, suffering, losing someone, and then waiting for the relief of knowing God is still there. Think of Mary, unbelievable suffering, witnessing the death of her beloved son, and then waiting to be reunited with him in heaven. I look out at all of you and know you have had or are having extremely painful pauses, and waiting for God to answer your prayers, relieve your suffering, take away the pain. Losing my husband so suddenly over 2 years ago was the most painful pause I've had in my life. I wanted to retreat, shut the door to the outside world, and suffer in silence. But God had another plan, and he gave me the strength to go on, to face the world, comfort my children, care for my grandchildren, facilitate Bible studies, work, and share my pain with others. Preparing for Advent took on a whole new meaning for me. As you read that no one knows the day or the hour when God will call you home, and I can wholeheartedly attest to that truth. My husband had just received a clean bill of health the day before he died, went for a 10-mile bike ride that morning, and died five houses from ours coming home. Believe me, he knew not the day or the hour. So every day, begin anew to prepare for your final breath on earth. This is not meant to be doom and gloom, but it's good news If you're prepared, eternity with God is waiting. As the new year of 2017 begins, we will begin the second half to our study of the book of Revelation. We will study the parallels in Luke's Gospel and Revelation chapter 12 between the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant and the New Testament Ark of the Covenant, who is Mary. And so we are back to Mary as we begin Advent 2016 and begin to prepare for the birthday of Jesus. Ignite your faith, increase your spiritual fitness, practice humility, prayerfully reflect, magnify the Lord, expand your heart to love Jesus more. Make sure Jesus is at the center of your life. And most of all, slow down and catch the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christmas, and the Spirit of Mary. And now let's pray the song.